This is probably one of the most important teachings tonight of the series. It explains well, and for those of us who are seasoned Christians, it's not so much revelatory as to what we receive, because when you hear what he says, you're going to say yes and amen. He puts it in such a way and structures it in such a way that we can use it. One of the beautiful things about the Word of God is we can plagiarize all day long. We could steal somebody's thunder and use it because it's the Word of God. We put it in this way because many people are afraid of the Holy Spirit. Many Christians are afraid, and they come about it in a righteous way because Christians have made them afraid of the Holy Spirit. How many of you know the Holy Spirit is God?
Yes.
And he's the third person of the Trinity. Amen. And he's on this earth right now, ministering to us, ministering through us, ministering back to Christ. Christ is at the throne, forever making intercession for us, seated at the right hand of power, and the Father is receiving our prayers. How many know all three are working in conjunction with one another? But the work of the Holy Spirit on this earth cannot be minimized, but it can be scary because people make it, one of the things he mentions in the teaching is back before there was any translations, the King James Version calls the Holy Spirit the Holy Ghost in places. And because of that word ghost, people make it seem like he's this big scary thing that just the crazy people across the railroad tracks use. But Holy Spirit is a precious third part of the Trinity, and I think you're going to enjoy tonight. We want to get right to worship and then watch the film because we're going to have some good discussion afterwards, I'm sure. Because we all know somebody that is not baptized in the Holy Spirit, they sure could use it. How many know? Everybody could use being baptized in the Holy Spirit. Matter of fact, he makes a good argument. Everybody should be baptized in the Holy Spirit. So let's pray, we'll worship, and then we'll get right into the teaching. Thank you, Father, for your revelation. Lord, even though we've served you many years, this series has been so refreshing to reacquaint ourselves with you, Holy Spirit. You're in our lives so much. You lead and guide us. You speak to us all the time. You enlighten the scriptures. You give us healing. You give us words to say to the lost. God, lest we take advantage of that and take you for granted, God, renew our fear of the Lord. Lord, our awe of you, Holy Spirit. Even as we worship tonight, thank you for being part and partial as you inhabit our praises. We give you all the glory and the honor and the praise. In Jesus' name. You know, it's not about us. We're going to be okay no matter what. People can tell me all day long, I can't preach on Jesus. I'm going to preach on Jesus. If I have to do that from a jail cell, I'll do it from a jail cell. I'm going to be okay. I'm going to heaven. But all these laws that are being passed and this, the changing of the national mind is damning people to hell. It's telling them that they're right when they're wrong. It's telling them that they're righteous when they're sinners. That's who I'm concerned about. Because we could put up with anything for a few years. How many know that? But eternity is a long time. And we just need to believe God to move. One of the ways that we're going to do that, of course, is by the power of Holy Spirit. And I'm not going to take any thunder away from Robert tonight. He just is on it. He's talking about, does he baptize? And when he lays this out, like I said, most of us are going to go, of course, that's right. But the way that he lays it out, I suggest that you take notes, that you keep this in your Bible. When somebody's talking to you about the baptism in the Holy Spirit, you can just walk them through it, because it's the baptism in the Holy Spirit is for every Christian. It's for every Christian. And he does a wonderful job, so, and we'll talk about it afterwards. So let's get right to the video. Good stuff. Good stuff. And, it's particularly important to me. Just after Sunday, after James sharing, one of the genius things that Revive has done is they've created a truck for them to drive around so that when people pray the prayer, they ask them to be baptized. How many know that second step is sometimes what pushes somebody over the line? Because it's more than just saying a prayer. Now you're actually going to publicly get wet and confess Jesus Christ. You may not be that serious when you step into the water, but Jesus is. Many people have actually gotten saved in that second step because they come in face to face with the old man that's dying.
they're leaving in the water. Yet it occurs to me when we talk to people about Jesus, we want it to be simple. We just want them to say a prayer and go on your merry way now. You're saved. You're going to heaven. We've only given them a third of what God intends. And then we get embarrassed because we don't want to talk about the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit, then, you know, people have heard bad things about the Holy Spirit. Well, that's tough. I still want to introduce you to the Holy Spirit. So I encourage you that when you talk to people about Christ, give them the whole story. 75% is not 100%. Come on. You want the whole thing. You want the baptism in the Holy Spirit to mean something. And don't get all hung up on the three steps. When I got saved, 3 days later, I was baptized with the Holy Spirit. And I wasn't baptized in water for another month and a half or 2 months. It's actually July, I think, we got baptized in water. I got saved in April. This was almost 3 months later. And it wasn't because I didn't want to. It just was convenient to happen at that time. And Terry and I were baptized together in a creek. Got touched by God. But how about you? Somebody give a testimony about what the Holy Spirit did in your life. Everybody here is baptized with the Holy Spirit? Anybody not baptized with the Holy Spirit? Okay, so somebody give me a testimony about what happened with you in this introduction to the Holy Spirit. Ah, many people have done that. What was that like? What was the experience like? Somebody else, your experience with the Holy Spirit. Yes. Someone else, give a testimony. Yes, Dan. Amen. Amen. You never got sanity back, right? Amen. Amen. You know, one of the things about receiving the Holy Spirit is once you ask for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, how many know God's going to give you the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Whether you speak in tongues or not, whether you feel any different or not, the fact is God gave you what you asked for. Now you just need to move by faith. Too many times we tell somebody, well, it didn't take this time. Meet me again in a couple days and we'll ask for the baptism of the Holy Spirit again. What you're doing is you're causing faith to leave them, not add to them. Once they ask for the baptism in the Holy Spirit, God's going to answer. God's going to answer. He said, if your son asks you for an egg, would you give him a scorpion? How much more will the Father in heaven give you to the Holy Spirit to those who ask? And we just need to be brave enough to ask. And God will do it. I had a professor, one of my favorite professors, and he's with Jesus now, but he was a professor in a Baptist college, very intelligent man, Baptist college. And some of the kids that were attending the school ministered to him about baptism in the Holy Spirit, and they had lots of discussions and even arguments, and they'd give him scripture and slip some scriptures, and he would study. So he had the dean of the school in for dinner, him and his wife, and they sat around the dinner table and ate dinner. And the dean said, let's have a word of prayer before I leave. And so they all joined hands and started to pray, and Brother Mac, that's what everybody called him, started to speak in tongues and lost his job immediately. As soon as he spoke in tongues, and he just felt it welling up within him, and out it came, and he was asked to leave the campus that week. I mean, in 3 days, he had to be out of his apartment and everything. But sometimes the Holy Spirit, it can be an embarrassing thing. But let me tell you, the Holy Spirit is absolutely necessary. Baptism of the Holy Spirit is not an option. It's necessary. I have a pastor friend of mine right now that's trying to minister. Came to a church and it's not Spirit-filled. And he said, I'm trying to introduce the Holy Spirit gradually. And I said, well, why would you do that? Are you introducing Jesus gradually? Hey, we're a church and I want you to know that one of these days we're going to get to know Jesus. No, we don't do that. Don't do that with the Holy Spirit either. Allow the Holy Spirit to be the Holy Spirit. I don't know what it's like. I was 3 days old in Christ whenever I was baptized with the Holy Spirit. I don't know what it is to be without Him. I got a fool's prayer language immediately. I don't know what it is to be without that. And I don't want to come across as being embarrassed or hold that back. I don't care how many people misrepresent Holy Spirit. I've seen Holy Spirit do some tremendous things. Tremendous things. Amen. Let's turn in our Bibles. As a matter of fact, I'd like somebody to volunteer to turn to 1 John chapter 5, 7 through 8. Who wants to read that? Just raise your hand if you're turning there. 1 John 5, 7, and 8. Nobody's raising their hand. First John 5. Okay, Joanne. And then 1 Corinthians 10, 1 and 2. Terry, will you read that? Okay, 1 John 5, 7 and 8 is? 8, 7 and 8. Oh, that is? Okay. Let me turn there. 1 John 7 and 8, because it goes on there, doesn't it? What's 9 say? Let me turn there. And then 1 Corinthians 10, 1 and 2. So I thought he made a good point when he talked about this. Actually, in the New King James Version 7 and 8 says, for there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, and these three are one. And in verse 8 says, and there are three that bear witness on earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and these three agree as one. I never tied the two together as the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. That, you know, the salvation, water baptism, and baptism of the Holy Ghost. I think that's pretty neat. I think it's a verse to share with somebody that's questioning whether there should be an agreement there. How about you? How many want to comment on that? At least say something. That's pretty powerful. How many know it doesn't only come in agreement in heaven, it comes agreement on earth. The third part of the Trinity has filled us and gives us all that we need. And I like what he had to say about going around the anointing and trying to understand God without the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And they feel dead. Many Christians fall away after a few years because there's no life there. There's no communication. Jesus set this up. And then if you'll notice, he stopped and said, you didn't make the rules. God made the rules. You know, we make rules to say, well, God, if you want a relationship with me, I don't really want, you know, the Holy Spirit scares me. So, Holy Spirit, if you'll just stay over there, I believe in you, but I really don't want you to speak with me or speak through me. And I want to have intimacy with Jesus. And Jesus says, you can't have it that way. I went to heaven and I sent Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit will speak to you all things that I tell him to speak. The communication has to come through the Holy Spirit. Come on, someone. And we do damage to people, yes. I've had discussions with people that say that was for the first century. 1 Corinthians 13 is what I'm thinking about. When the perfect comes, the imperfect will pass away. And they talk about the finishing of the scriptures. So, and he used to come to this church. What do you say to them when they say that? Danny. Pardon me? I think of Mrs. Mabin when I think about that. Mrs. Mabin was our math teacher in my school. She was a high school math teacher. She taught algebra and geometry and that terrible word, trigonometry. Terrible word. And so when I was a freshman, when I was taking her first class, everybody told me what a wicked person Mrs. Mabin was. That she was just a pile driver and she wouldn't take, you know, she didn't grade on the curve. You had to do a good job or you'd flunk the class. And I got to know Mrs. Mabin, and she was one of the sweetest women I knew. She just demanded perfection. And that's what happens with the Holy Spirit. He's misrepresented so much. People get goofy. They act weird. You know, breaking out in tongues when it's not proper to do so. Come on, someone. You're not showing your maturity when you pray in tongues around somebody that's having difficulty with believing that tongues is for today. You're insulting the Holy Spirit. And he's been misrepresented so much, it's no wonder we're pushed into a corner. But that doesn't make him any less relevant. He just needs, the Holy Spirit's a gentleman. He doesn't force himself on anyone. Come on, someone. He's a gentleman. And we need to be gentlemen and gentle ladies when we're talking with someone about the precious Holy Spirit that God left here for us and represent him correctly. You'll take the Holy Spirit or else. If you don't receive the Holy Spirit, you're going to hell. Yeah, precious, precious, precious. And so many people that are struggling need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's the first thing I do when I counsel somebody that's struggling with Jesus. Have you been baptized with the Holy Spirit? Because that's the number one thing. If you're baptized, how many took a great leap forward when you were baptized in the Holy Spirit? You just took a great leap forward. Can't explain it. You don't know why, but all of a sudden Jesus becomes so real to you. The scriptures are opened up to you. And like I said, I have nothing to compare it with, because when I was saved, I jumped right in, all feet. You know, the word of God opened up to me immediately because of the Holy Spirit. Yeah, Keith Green, yeah. That was up in Rearsburg, Pennsylvania, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they didn't have warm water yet.
Yeah, no, it was cold. Yeah. It only gets warm for 2 days, July 1st and 2nd, and it's cold again. Well, I'm probably going to make some people mad when I say this, but even here at New Life, it's not vogue to do what we did years ago. But how many know Holy Spirit never changes? And we need to give time for Holy Spirit to speak. Tongues, interpretation, words of wisdom, words of knowledge. You know, we're a fairly small church. We know each other. We have to recognize that God still speaks even through familiar people, even through people that you've known. The Holy Spirit speaks through my wife to me. I have to recognize it's the Holy Spirit. It's not my wife. Nobody in the earth knows me better than my wife. But when she says, "Thus saith the Lord," I listen. Because that's how God speaks to us, through one another. Come on, somebody. It's not vogue now. It's not popular to allow the Holy Spirit with tongues and interpretation. Even in full gospel churches, Pentecostal churches, no, you can't do that. It's Sunday morning. You relegate that to the home group or Wednesday night. Don't do that to a Wednesday night Bible study, because you might offend somebody. My scripture says, my Bible says, tongues is for the unbeliever. The interpretation, they'll know they've been in the presence of God. Somebody getting up and shouting in tongues and acting like an idiot. I'm not talking about that. Somebody speaking in tongues with the interpretation, and an unbeliever comes and says, "Man, that's the Lord." Yes. Wow. And you heard that in church. Isn't that like God? I just want you to know God is never going to tell me that. Never. I get that high up, I'm going up to heaven. Wow. Yes. Yeah. Somebody else answer that. What do you think?
I experience that word.
And I always tell somebody, I'm not trying to correct you, but I always tell somebody, if you ever get to a place where you're out of control, it's not God. It's not God. And that'll answer your question too. Somebody says they're laughing and they can't stop. You can stop. You don't want to.
No.
You're just enjoying yourself so much you don't want to. I've been there. Trust me. I got drunk. A lot of people question this, but I got drunk in the Holy Spirit for 3 days and lost hours of time just being in the presence of God. It's not that I couldn't. I didn't want to. I didn't have any responsibility, so I just laid in the presence of the Lord. Yeah. 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 And that's to answer your question. Yeah, that's out of control, and that's insulting to the presence of the Lord, because when the man of God gets up to speak, he's either out of order and should laugh with everybody else, or the church needs to come in order. Most likely, the church needs to come in order so the word of God can be preached. Yeah. Yeah. Now, that can happen, too. That can happen. That's like I just said, if that guy doesn't need to speak, he needs to hold to the agenda of the Holy Spirit. And I think when you're in that situation, you can discern whether we're supposed to continue with ministry or preach the word. And I've been in some very confusing places. But I've been in places where we laughed for hours and hours. Nobody got to preach anything. So, yeah. Diane, did you? Okay. Somebody else? Yes, John. I went into a Jewish song. Today's Yom Kippur. Well, it was over at 6 o'clock. Right? 6 o'clock? Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Oh. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm talking about. Well, sure. And they deserved it, and it's important to pray against that kind of thing, because almost every move of God ended up weird stuff. Azusa Street, 1901, Azusa Street started, and for about 4 years it was powerful, but they began to crawl around on all fours and bark like dogs and act like idiots, and it all broke up. Toronto. I went to Toronto. There were some valid things happening in Toronto. There was some flesh. There's always going to be flesh in the move of God. But two very famous people, if I told you who they were, you might get mad at me, but two very famous people stood at two pulpits, one cawed like an eagle and the other cooed like a lamb, and some other animals, and they talked between each other and laughed and carried on and acted like they were having a conversation. How many know that's a smear on God? God doesn't speak animal language to human beings. That's what I'm saying. Then you want to minister baptism. Don't you want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit? No, thank you. No, thank you. Don't want anything to do with it. But that doesn't make it any less valid. It's the most sane thing you'll ever do. Has nothing to do with the insanity. But flesh will always be involved. It's always going to be messy. And you go to a Baptist church, and everybody's real quiet and stand, sing number 358, sit back down, and the guy in front of you is all filled with pornography. The woman in front of you is killing her neighbor because they can't keep their dog. I mean, there's all kinds of flesh happening. It just is not so demonstrative. Are you there? So, I mean, it's always going to, you take a risk when you allow God to be God, because some people are going to react in the flesh. That doesn't make it any less valid. It's very powerful. The first encounter I had with what you were talking about, being out of control, Terry and I were in a meeting in an evening, and the glory cloud came in. It was a glory cloud. And we all began to sing, and there was about 2,500 people there. All began to sing, and we were singing this slow song, and I began to dance. I was dancing in a slow song. My eyes closed, and I said, I must look pretty weird. I opened my eyes, and everybody was dancing. Everybody was dancing in a slow song, and everybody's dancing fast to a slow worship song. And the Spirit of God came, and we ended up, the next thing I knew, I'm on my face. My face is buried in the carpet. I could get back up, but I don't want to. The power of God was there. And finally, after about 45 minutes, somebody came up and said, if you have kids, you need to go get the kids out of the nursery. And I looked at Terry and I said, I'm not getting up. She said, I'm not getting up. And finally, we peeled ourselves off the floor and walked across the road. And every one of those kids were out, except the 13-year-old girl. She was ministering, and the power of God had hit those kids. 3-4-year-old kids laying on their face before God. Before God. I mean, being baptized in the Holy Ghost, being healed, out, being saved. And nobody told them what was happening. It was across the street. It was in another building. So that's the Lord. That's the Lord. And over the years, we've seen some valid moves of God. It doesn't make the craziness will drive people away. And as long as I'm here, as long as the elders are here and the leadership is here, we're never going to let that happen. Hopefully we'll yield to the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Because once you have an encounter with Him, all the questions go away. All the questions go away. Amen. Good stuff. Father, thank You for Your wisdom in how You set this whole thing up. Lord, the wisdom of sending Jesus to die on the cross for sins, to eradicate sin and move that out of the way so that we could have a relationship with You. And then just to add power to the whole thing, You sent Holy Spirit to fill us so that we can communicate with You very clearly, communicate with one another through the gifts and the fruits, and Father, be a witness and a light to this very dark world we live in. God, help us. If we've done anything to grieve You, Holy Spirit, forgive us. Or we want to be representing You in a correct manner. And God, we thank You for those that we're believing for to be saved and baptized with the Holy Spirit as well. God, bring the revival that You promised and a renewal here to this area through things like this. We just thank You. I thank You for the conversation. May it, everything we say, Lord, if it was in the flesh, let it be forgotten. But everything that was said by Your Spirit, take root in our hearts. And we give You praise and honor in Jesus' name. Amen.